This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Okay. But I've not said that the phone is coming to... That's not my argument. All I've said is that this phone depends upon something else in order to exist. That is my point. So my premise here, guys, and I want you to lose this premise, is that anything with limited variables depends...
I don't understand that bit.
Okay. Limited variables means that it's not unlimited in its composition. Let me give you an easy example, okay?
As in, there is a finite number of atoms that...
Finite number of what? No, not atoms. I'm just saying finite number of whatever it may be.
Or whatever makes up the...
Yeah,
the
whatever makes up this phone,
yeah.
Silicone or whatever it may be, it's finite, right? It's not infinite in its nature, is it? Like, for example, me, I'm composed of blood and tissue and water and all these things, right? But there's a finite number of those variables inside of my physical, biological frame. What I'm saying is that anything with such a description, which is finite in its composition, depends upon something else in order to exist. That's all I'm saying.
So does God have infinite variables?
We're not talking about God. God is out of the discussion at the moment.
Can you think of a thing?
And God wouldn't be finite.
We can't talk about God.
Okay, if you want to. Okay, God, we would say... But what we would say, just to answer that kind of question, is God is not finite. Simple. The definition of God is that he is infinite in his mercy, his knowledge, etc. So he would be not in the category of things that we've just described.
Okay, I've got a comeback to that. Like, that tree, is that God? Obviously not. The tree isn't God, so God can't be infinite because he would include the tree. If there's something that isn't God, surely it's finite, would be my...
Yeah, exactly. So you're right. Something which isn't God is finite. That's correct.
But God isn't the tree.
That's right.
Therefore,
so he's finite.
He is finite.
Why would that mean... No, why is that the case?
Well,
if God isn't the tree. So the tree is finite. So if he wasn't the tree, why would that make him himself finite?
Well, because therefore the God is everything apart from the tree.
We didn't say he's everything.
Well, fine, but he's...
He's what?
He's not in a tree.
Oh, okay. Are you saying that he's unlimited in his... that he's occupying every crevice of creation?
No, that's what I'm suggesting. You're almost saying...
No, we don't believe that. We don't believe that. That's not our conception of theology, right?
Yeah, there's some... I don't really understand this variable thing, but it just seems to be words.
Okay, everything is words. If I said to you, listen, every human being is mortal, is that a controversial statement, guys? Really? No, if I said Socrates is a human being, would you have a problem with that? Would you honestly have a problem with that? If I said every human being is mortal, is there a problem?
No.
Is there no problem? Socrates is a human being.
Yes.
He is?
Yes, yeah.
Are you sure?
Well, he was.
He was? Okay, well, he was a human being, yeah.
I mean, if we're being like that, yeah.
Right, okay.
If we're being specific, we
therefore,
don't know
that, therefore, sure, therefore, yeah. Therefore, Socrates was mortal.
Yeah.
Okay, see how you were able to simply follow the logic in that. It was no controversy. I could have said, listen, hold on. Premise number two, Socrates, we don't know if he existed or not. I could say that. We only know that Socrates existed through Plato, actually. He hasn't written any of his own books. How do we know he existed? We can't see his tomb. But you just easily went from premise one to premise two to premise three.
I think so. Going back to the last sort of step we were at, you said, I think, as far as I'm aware, I agree that anything that has limited variables
is dependent
on something, unless we use a sort of concept where we're all created from, you know, stardust and atoms.
Right.
Therefore, those atoms have united to form a human body, which
good.
Has formed a...
So the universe has limited variables. Is that accepted?
That's where I stop.
Okay, is the universe not in? Is the universe unlimited in its variables? The amount of stars that compose the universe, the amount of black holes that are in the universe, the amount of helium that's in the universe, is that limited or unlimited?
It's unlimited in its... It could be unlimited in its time scope, though.
No, it's not.
That's where we disagree.
I'm just saying that
that's where we can't ever know.
First and foremost, we're not talking about time. We're talking about variables, which are independent from time.
What you're saying is that... They are finite in so much as physical matter that we can register at the moment what they're moving into, the concept of space. Is it truly empty that they're moving into, or is there something there that we can't yet understand?
Whether it's empty, okay, that's good. Whether it's empty or not empty, okay, that's aside the point. Because if they're moving into something, this is actually indicative of the fact that they must be finite by their nature. If the universe is expanding, you accept the universe is expanding?
Yes.
If you accept that the universe is expanding, then you, by virtue of necessity, actually, must accept that the universe is finite and not infinite. Because it cannot, something which is infinite cannot increase in number and size.
Okay, but
do you understand this point?
Yeah, I understand what you're trying to say.
Okay, but I think going back to the last step that we are at, I suppose a exception to that point is if something has always existed anyway, even if it is limited in its variable.
That's what we're saying. That's begging the question for me.
No,
I've just said to you that I don't believe such an entity does exist. You've made a conditional and then said if something has existed but it's always been there. I'm saying that, where is an example of that?
Just go back to the phone example.
Yes.
So we agreed that this has been, it's the limited variable and that it is caused by something. If this has always existed for eternity.
Yeah, but that if, for me, is a non-relevant if. It's like saying if, you know, there's a multiverse and therefore there's been, this conversation has taken place before sometime in the future. For me, that if is unsubstantiated. There's an unlimited amount of ifs that I can presuppose to any given situation.
But
shouldn't use it to block logical pathways from taking place.
It's not blocking. Yeah. We're just using, I'm using the phone, I'm not saying the phone's actually existed forever.
Right.
I'm just saying imagine, using it as a metaphorical example.
Okay.
Imagine the phone has existed for eternity.
Yes.
Although it is limited in its variables, if it has existed for eternity, then nothing has caused it, because it's always been
my
there.
Presupposition.
So nothing needs to cause
my,
the phone.
My contention is exactly this.
Yeah.
I'm saying that it's not possible for something with limited variables to ever forever exist.
Well, that's where.
Without being dependent. In order for that, my contention to be disproved, you'd have to give me a live example.
I don't have to.
Yes, you do. That's how science works, in fact.
No, science works in falsification terms.
No, it's not how science works. Of course
works.
It works like that.
It's not.
Of course it is.
Science is, here's a theory.
Yeah.
Let's try and test to see if we can prove it or disprove it.
Yeah, and then what do you put after that?
I have a theory and I cannot prove or disprove it.
Hold on. When you've done that, you put your scientific theory in where?
I've neither proved it. But I haven't disproved it either.
No. That's not the way science works. Science works is, okay, you've got hypothesis, experimentation, and then you've got it, then you put it into peer-reviewed journals, right? Then it's the job of other scientists to falsify that whatever it is that you put.
There's some things you can't
disprove.
We agree we can't disprove the existence of a God, therefore I am not.
No. Now you're conflating the physical and the metaphysical. Here, the physical is where, because science has naturalistic presuppositions. It has a methodological naturalism as its base. In other words, you cannot put under a microscope things which are metaphysical. You can only put under a microscope that which is physical. Now, you've made a statement about physical entities, not metaphysical entities. You talked about the phone, which is actually a physical entity. So I'm saying that my contention today is that we have not yet found in the history of the world an example of something which is limited in its variables, yet independent. And if you have an...
Certainly the whole universe.
We haven't disproved.
Can you prove that it's independent?
This theory, you know, energy can, matter can't be created or destroyed.
So you're saying matter cannot... That's within the circle of the universe.
Yes.
Within the circle of the universe.
Yes.
Right, so that once again wouldn't apply.
Okay, well,
it's a closed circle.
Sorry.
So the context in which that... That which, what you've said, energy can't be created, would only work within the circuit of the universe.
Yes.
So if the universe came into existence...
Well, no one says it did.
Pardon?
No one's saying it did come into existence.
If the universe came... So it's just always been there, in your mind?
Yes.
That's where the contention is.
Okay, all right, fine.
Even
if you say that the universe has always been there...
Yeah.
You still have to recognize that the universe is composed of a limited amount of variables.
I sort of see where you're going. It seems almost as if you're just doing the cause argument.
It's not a cause. This is the contingency argument. So here, the contingency argument.
I agree with you. I agree that I believe that the universe is contained of limited variables. I think.
Okay, yes. Good. If we go to the next stage now, because we don't want to spend too much time.
Sure.
If that's the case, if the universe is composed of limited variables, number one. Number two, number one, that which is limited in its variables depends upon something else. Number two,
we decided we didn't agree with that.
Why? Have you got anything to prove it? Disprove it?
Yes, just the universe.
No, I can't prove or disprove it.
That's why I said at the start of the conversation,
I don't know.
If you say you can't prove or disprove of it,
yeah.
Then
it doesn't mean it's not true.
No, hold on. That's not good enough to dismiss it. Let me give you an example. If I say to you here that the Big Bang Theory itself, yeah?
Right.
Do you accept it? Whatever. You say, look, I can't prove or disprove it. I've got evidence for it, but I can't prove or disprove it. That sentence, I cannot prove or disprove it, is applicable to almost everything.
Yeah.
And you can use that sentence to get away from believing in anything. Now, what I'm saying to you today is that you can continue saying this to yourself, and I believe it's self-delusion, by the way. If you say, I can't prove or disprove, therefore I'm not going to believe, I believe that's a form of self-delusion. If you can find an example, if I can find you 1 billion examples using induction of something being the case for a reason, that's good reason to accept it. That's how science works. You accept science, you go to the doctor when you're ill. I'm saying that in the physical world, anything that you see which has limited amount of variables is dependent upon something else. I have a billion examples of that. Any example you want to give around us is an example of that. Anything around, in fact, is an example of that. You're saying, we can't prove or disprove. The same induction that you use to prove your own existence, or the same induction that you use to prove almost anything that you believe in, you've rejected here. But why?
Do you see what I mean? I could give you a billion examples of plants that are green.
Yes.
Every plant, as far as I'm aware, has an element of
green.
That's a
false dichotomy here.
But you're saying that if you went...
I can get you a blue plant.
Let me finish. If you went a billion miles away and went to a planet which had life, based on that reasoning, you would say they must have... Their plants will be green. Because I have a billion examples.
This is David Hume's whole white swan example, sorry. David Hume's white swan example is exactly this. If you say all... I've seen 100 swans. All of the swans are white, yeah? I see one black swan, I've disproved the thesis that all swans are white. I'm saying to you that everything around us in this universe, which has limited variables, including the universe itself, which has limited variables, is contingent on something else for its existence. It's dependent upon something else.
We disagree with that.
So if you have one example that disproves this thesis, you've done exactly what someone would have done if they found one black swan. If you haven't found the black swan, you cannot say that black swans exist.
Yes, but you also cannot prove that the black swan doesn't exist.
Yes, okay, fine. But then if you use that same methodology, this is why I'll be honest with you guys. Can I be honest?
No, I know you've already said...
I want to be honest. Listen,
yeah.
This is my honest truth here.
Yeah.
I sometimes with atheists, right? I feel sometimes there's a double standard in their approach. I'll be honest with you, right? Maybe you can correct me. And please, do correct me, yeah? I believe that, for example, simple induction, which you would accept in almost any other context, when it comes to the discussion of theology, you reject it. Even if that induction is plentiful, is incredible in its number, you will still reject it. I don't see the reason why you should reject it. You see, look.
I don't see why it's plentiful.
Well, if
we find many examples of one thing, okay?
I'm yet to find one when it comes to what you're trying to argue in terms of theology.
No, I'm saying, look, you have to follow the logic.
I've made a
point today, guys. The point I've made is that anything with limited variables depends upon something else in order for it to exist. Now, I'm saying everything that you can see around you is an example of that. Now, if I have a billion tried and tested, yes, a trillion tried and tested examples of something in the scientific world from day dot until this day, yeah, and that was put into any kind of scientific journal, it would be seen as a very strong type of science. Not any kind of science, it would be seen as a very strong kind of science. My question is, why do you not accept what I'm saying to be a strong argument if we would accept it with anything else? Why?
For me, I still, on this thing of the phone, it didn't come into existence.
I'm not talking about coming into existence.
Well, I think you are.
I'm just talking about contingency. There is a difference really between contingency and causation. Yes.
I don't understand the difference.
Okay, well. let me explain. Cause means when something brings something brings rise to something else.
Right.
Contingency is dependency. That's another synonym for dependency. So contingency and dependency are the same thing, whereas cause is when you have something which brings rise to something else.
Yeah,
well, I'm not talking about causation. I understand that you might not buy into the theory of causation, although it's everywhere. Once again, you might not buy into it, no problem. I'm saying now, forget about causation, let's talk about dependency and contingency. All I'm saying is that all that which has limited variables is contingent on something, must be contingent on something else. And I dare anyone to give me one example of the contrary of that, and I will reject the premise myself. I'll break the premise myself. I'll leave the premise myself.
The way I see it is, like you say, there's finite variables in the universe.
Yes.
And then some of those finite variables cause another finite variable to change, and that causes something else to change, and it all goes round in a circle.
Exactly.
I don't see any... I don't see why you have to kind of decide that the whole universe has to be created.
I've not said anything about created.
I think this is the same thing.
Try not to make a straw man of this argument, okay? Because creation is something different.
To use your own argument on its side, I think part of the difficulty I have with disagreeing with the fact that the universe is not unlimited is the fact that the inference therefore leads me to the fact that there is something outside which is created.
Thank you very much.
So, but to use your own argument against you, I don't think there's any other evidence for an existence of a creator apart from that inference.
I must.
Therefore, to me, there's. It's a fairly equal chance that it's either a creator that has created the universe and therefore it matches what you've said, or there's not, and the universe has been around forever. For
I understand what you're saying, Sammy. I hear what you're saying. But I do want to say this to you. Bill? It's Bill, isn't it? Listen to me, yeah? What you've just said there seriously uncovered for me the psychological reasoning as to why you're giving this argument such a scrutinous kind of assessment. The reason why you're doing it is not because of the value or the strength of the argument. It's exactly because of what you've said. You've just said, if you think about what you just said, you said that the reason why I don't want to grant you this premise is because it will necessitate an external independent force. That is not a reason. So in other words, you don't believe because you don't want to believe.
No.
That's exactly what it means. That's exactly right.
I would be happy to believe if there was any other evidence apart from that one concept that you're saying. If there's more evidence, I would be happy to believe. I'm not like anti the idea of believing. If there was more evidence, I would be happy to believe. But this argument. There's two strands there. There's two possibilities.
Yeah.
One is that one is that the universe is been here for eternity, and therefore it matches the possibility that there has not been a creator.
But even if it was there for eternity, it doesn't mean it doesn't have limited variables.
The other possibility is that the universe has not been here for eternity, and therefore there might be a creator.
No, that's a false dichotomy.
So, but to me, there's.
See, look.
One of them does not trump the other.
No, why? Even if the universe
was. There's equal evidence.
Even if the universe.
There's basically no evidence
for
either. It's
what I'm saying is, even if the universe was here forever, even if we believed in what's referred to as eternal inflation model, even if we believed in the oscillating contracting of the universe, contraction, then. Even if we believed in all of that, it does not negate the fact that it has limited variables. Eternality in time does not mean unlimited.
I agree.
Yes, it does not mean infinity in variables.
I agree.
So here, the time aspect, which you keep referring to, is not applicable to contingency. It might be applicable, granted, to causation, but it's not applicable to contingency or dependency. What I'm saying to you guys is this.
No, it is applicable to dependency.
It is
applicable to dependency.
How?
Because if something's been around for eternity, then it's not dependent on anything to exist.
No.
It's always been.
Look, you're once again, you're referring to time. You're saying if something has been around forever, it doesn't require something else to exist.
Yeah.
That's not true.
Why not?
That's not true, because you can have something, you can have two entities that are around forever.
Sorry?
You can have two entities that were there around forever. One is the person.